Sorry, here to tell.
Okay, now when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, before we bring in Kilroy, our great, what a brother, what a fantastic brother. Before we bring Kilroy in, I'm just going to say one more time, if you will, send us some money in for dark medicine. It'll serve two purposes. It will help support Blood River Radio. It will also spread the word how bleak it is here in the United States for white people wanting to go into the medical field, into medicine, into pharmacology, especially medicine and dentistry. They're even discriminating against people wanting to go into pharmacology, into nursing. If you're white, a white male, you can just forget about applying for medical school. And if it's not, if they hadn't cranked down, if they hadn't ratcheted down 100% now yet, it's coming. The officials that run the medical schools that control who gets in what nationwide, the United States. You'll really read all about that. It's not a long read. It's a fairly easy read. It's plain. It's really upsetting, but it's true. Even though it will upset you, you need to know what the hell's going on there. If you'll please send us a donation as much as you can, we'll send you dark medicine. If you send a nice enough donation, we'll send you the Calorgy Report from Paul Fromm about the blueprint of white, anti-white genocide going on right now was put in officially over 100 years ago. But what a shocker by a Jew living in Germany. If you'll send us some money, we'll send you that to you. It will, like I said, I know I'm repeating myself, but it will educate you. It will show you some of the things that are really bad that you didn't know about, how bad it is in medicine. And it will help Blood River Radio. And I seldom ever do that. I always forget to plug those two books we have. But anyway, people, now, Jason has been gracious enough to stay on with us. God, he saved my bacon the first hour. And now he did a marvelous job. And now we have another brother, Kilroy, coming on. And pretty much it's going to be Kilroy and Jason carrying this second hour here. And I'm going to be bringing him in out of the breaks because I know y'all have heard enough about my loud mouth. And we like new people coming in here. So how you doing, Kilroy?
I'm doing great, Eddie. It's a little chilly and cloudy today, but we just had a hot spell. We were over the 90s up here in Minnesota, starting 2 days ago and the 3 days before that. So it's welcomed. Finally getting some rain, too.
I'll tell you, I bet there's one hot spell going on in that affair that's not welcome, and I know, and I won't say what that is, but you know what it is, and so does Jason. Well, Jason, and we still have Jason, and these two guys are going to carry on. Hey, Kilroy, do you have anything special you would like to take off? Because Jason is when it comes to being a radio guy. He's a natural. So I'm going to turn this over to you and Jason. So what would you like to, what are we going to cover now, Kilroy?
Well, I got a couple of things that, I typically cover what's going on behind enemy lines here in the blue state of Minnesota, but you guys were going so hot and heavy on such a good topic. I wrote down some notes that I wanted to bring up. First of all, your point on military action in South Africa, it's far fetched and, what a head scratcher that might be for some people. I mean, when we consider how many times the U.S. has done that for other minorities like Somalia, we went there and established order and protected all the skinnies, as they called them. And now they're all immigrating here to the U.S. in droves and holding public office like that terrorist Ilhan Omar. And why can't we do the same for white oppressed people in South Africa. I mean, the double standard is just something that hopefully it's not just as obvious to me as it is to other people. It surely probably isn't to anyone listening here. But, you know, it's just unbelievable in how the Jews can say that white genocide in South Africa is a conspiracy theory, but try calling the Holocaust the same thing and you could face criminal charges or be doxxed, lose your job, and more. Total double standard.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point. I mean, the fact that he brought up Somalia, you know, I actually kind of forgot about that, where the United States did go in there and so-called establishes, or I think they, I don't know if the United States is still in there now, but I think they reverted back to their old ways. but regardless, yeah. There are definitely examples of the United States going to where, you know, there's, you know, supposedly genocide going on, and I didn't really think about it, but I think there is a good possibility that could happen in South Africa. You know, usually if they start implementing programs like the refugee programs, and actually that's part of their policies of bringing white people in because they're saying they are being killed. And if that continues in South Africa and the ANC are really brazen about it, I don't know if that's really actually is far-fetched regarding military action going in there. I definitely could see that if we are now having a policy of genocide of the white farmers in South Africa.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, it was also interesting, too, how this Goldstein rabbi character in South Africa was such a Trump fan as long as he was against Iran, naturally. But the minute that he has a policy that gets in the way of white replacement, now all of a sudden he flips like a switch, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, these Jews and these rabbis over there in South Africa, they fail to realize that the blacks look at them as whites as well. Even though they're racially are not white people, the blacks still look at them as whites. And so it's not like the blacks are going to not kill them either. They're looking
right
at them and considering, hey, you're white, and they're going to go after them too. So these black savages are definitely going to be hunting them down as well. So, you know, unfortunately, they always create a Frankenstein monster wherever they go, whatever white nation they go into, by bringing in non-whites and promoting the non-whites and the diversity programs. And same thing has happened in South Africa. They basically have promoted the diversity, and they're the ones that caused the apartheid to fall apart. And as a result of that, creature that they have created, and these blacks are going to go back against them, and will kill them as well. They probably don't think that, but that is what will happen as well.
Yeah, I think they probably think that to an extent, but unlike the non-Jewish whites over there, they have a lifeboat in Zion. They can always go back
sure.
to Israel. They have
That's
a place
true.
To go. And the other whites, they have no place to go unless a country, you know, invites them. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're doing, it sounds like. So
yeah, definitely. So you had mentioned the refugee program regarding the South Africa on one part. Was there another point as well? Regarding that topic?
No, there was another topic about the when you guys were talking about the deportation, the Supreme Court putting a halt to Trump's deportation of these illegal alien gang members.
Oh, yes.
And I'm glad you're a lawyer, because I'm just a layperson and I can't make any sense of it. But why illegal aliens, regardless of gang activity, but more appropriately so, have any sort of right to a judicial review. It doesn't make any sense why any authority above ICE would be necessary to deport someone here illegally.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. There's a lot of attorneys out there are kind of scratching their heads as well. I think you had Justice Alito and Thomas. They basically said that Trump had every right to deport them. They're here illegally, and he has every right to deport them. I think what is a very possibility, and maybe I'm just a little hopeful, but more there is a overreach from the judicial branch. I could see Trump basically saying, "Well, you made your decision, and I'll try to enforce it."
We have to go to our quick break. That's an excellent place to take up when we come back. Be right back, folks.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people in our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging on. We got Scott's going to come up. Scott's prior military. I knew a kid who was in Mogadishu, a ranger. I won't mention his name. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But Scott was in the Marines at the time. I think he was a medic. And I think they call him corpsman in the Navy. But anyway, Scott could have gone to Mogadishu, that hell of a hole. But Scott, if you will, take off. Do what we said we're going to do during the break, Scott. Go ahead, son.
Sure. And you're correct. We're called hospital corpsman. But we tend to let people know medic because they don't really know what hospital corpsman is. Especially Obama. He thought we were corpsmen, if you recall. Yeah, with Memorial Day weekend coming up next weekend, I just wanted to pay tribute to all the people, all the service members who fought and died over there in Mogadishu. I didn't go. I'm not a combat veteran, but that's probably the closest I came to going to a hot spot. I had just arrived in 29 Palms with the 1st Marine Division, and they were already over there. And that's when, if you recall, Clinton brought everyone home except for Special Forces, Delta, and all them, and the Rangers. And that was prior to the Black Hawk Down incident. But I just wanted to, place my hand over my heart for those people who fought and died over there. My friends, when they all came back, I was surrounded by veterans of that war. And As I was telling you on the break, I saw a lot of pictures that would never make it to the news. That's for sure. They were pretty gory. So some of them had been wounded, but everybody came back. So here's to them.
Thank you so much for that, Scott. Yes, people, just if you're not announced, take a minute or two in your heart, all the people listening, to honor our dead white people over there that they – just like Vietnam, their lives were for nothing. Their loss of lives was for nothing, basically. But anyway, I would just like, yeah, that's the only thing I was going to talk about when we came back. I was going to mention Black Hawk Down and just another sorrowful waste of white lives for nothing. And I'll make this quick short. I'll just tell you one thing. You know, my war was Vietnam, you know, and I have a bookshelf. I bought it and opened up with Made in Vietnam. If you go to the REI sporting co-op for sporting goods and stuff, it's really big. Almost all their stuff was made in Vietnam, and I'm thinking, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that we had to go through all that hardship, and we have mines that are destroyed, limbs blown all to hell in Vietnam. So that, I'm so glad we did that, so we can get this cheap junk brought into REI and all these upscale sporting goods stores made by these people. And we have people in from Vietnam here that are working like in hair salons and fixing, and they get paid an astronomical amount for just painting fingernails. And I'm thinking their dads and granddads probably helped kill some of my friends in Vietnam anyway. So, but that's what we do here. We bring all this scum into the United States, non-white, and we dishonor our own white people. But go ahead, Jason, take off from there, brother. Sorry, I hope I didn't take up too much time.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, and what's really unfortunate, the average white man that goes in the military, they really do have a sense of service. They want to, serve their country. And majority of them are religious. They want to serve their country and help protect America, and that's their sense of duty, and we definitely have to honor that. And what's sad is, there are politicians, there's the Jewish supremacists, that they have an alternative motive and they have an agenda, and like you said, they want to send our troops in places where they should not be at. They like to put them in situations where they should not be having to go through. And to them, they're just expendable bodies. They're just a number. These people, fallen soldiers, they they're fathers and their husbands, and they're granddads, and they go through a terrible battle and war, and they'll get maimed or they'll get killed, and in their mind, they're wanting to help protect America. And again, for the most part, they're being lied to, And there was an old saying. I'm trying to remember who it was, but it was a Jew that had said that when the blood spills, the money begins to pour. And it's the same thing, is that they look at war as an economic boost. They look at war as the military complex. We hear so often here, and who's suffering is the average man out there who has a loyalty to their country and a sense of duty, and they're for the most part being lied to, and that's what's sad. But we still should honor them. They're still our racial brothers that, they have the good heart, and they're trying to do what's right, and so we should always still honor them.
True. Your friend and my great friend, there'll never be another Mr. Buddy, and I know Jason knows who I'm talking about, but he once said, I'll never forget it, that those who profit from war and start it never participate in it, but those who participate in the war never profit or start it. And that's oh so true. But you're very right. And I know people like Scott, and who's like I was when I was a kid, full of this idealism, and you're going to fight for your country and all this stuff. My dad was the same way until it didn't take. He was in the Pacific in World War II fighting the Japanese. It didn't take him long, and I hate to say it, but he came back an atheist. And he was a good little Baptist boy. My grandfather was a Baptist minister. But that's what it does to you. He's up close and personal with the Japanese. And, man, you don't know mutilation and stuff to delve into that war. But, you know, shifting gears a little bit, I don't know if I have time. There's a great article I was reading. They do have some good articles in American Free Press. They got a couple of editors there that I wouldn't give you a hoot in hell for. But anyway, they got this one article by Kevin Barrett. I've met him before. He's a PhD. I saw him in New York. If you get a chance, it's on page 6 of the American Free Press. This was the April 14 and 21. Orwellian AI being used to persecute peaceful anti-genocide protesters. And I'm just going to, I could read it probably in 5 minutes, but I'm not going to. It says this radical, Jason and Kilroy, the radical Jews, this radical Jewish extremist group I'd ever heard of, Betar, B-E-T-A-R, has been using AI-driven facial recognition technology to persecute peaceful protesters. It's white people, too. White to persecute white people. They have white people that were protesting in there of the Palestinian genocide. And I'd also like to point out, a lot of people don't recognize there's a lot of Christians in Palestine. Matter of fact, the Jews attacked the Christians that were trying to attend probably the oldest Christian church in the world. If it's not the oldest, it's got to be in the top three. In Jerusalem on Easter Sunday, doesn't get out. That news doesn't get out any at all by the mainstream media. No. And we still have these Southern Baptists praising these damn Jews. Well, it goes on to say, I'm just summing up in one sentence. These Jews, these radical Jewish organizations, that they're being used, they're getting AI furnished to them, and known the United States government knows about it. Homeland Security knows about it, and they're tracking people through facial technology and all the other kinds of AI, and they're using it to harass white people along with the other people that are doing anything wrong, anything that the Jews don't like, protesting Israel, protesting Jews. It doesn't have to be Palestine. Anything on any college campus that white people, the students, speak up against, you know, the injustice, they're being expelled from college. They're losing their jobs. In some instances, they risk going to prison. That's just the way it is. And it names about, you know, this terrorist organizations. I consider them terrorist organizations, too. The ADL, the SPLC, B'nai B'rith. You know, they're all Jewish terrorist organizations. But just know that our good old Jew buddies are being furnished all kinds of AI surveillance technology, and they're turning the once areas of universities in the United States that used to be areas of free speech, free debate, to debate the ideas, see which ideas are the best. I mean, that's what college is. Colleges doesn't teach you all this. Although it can teach you reading, writing, arithmetic, chemistry, mathematics, physics, etc., law, medicine. It's the basic purpose there is to teach you to think. Go ahead, Scott. What do you think about that, brother?
Well, I think that the fact that you read an article about it tells me it's probably been around for decades, if not at least one decade. And, you know, how else do you think they found out all the people that were at the farce of an insurrection or at Charlottesville? I mean,
True. I mean,
when you look at a crowd, how many faces can you just, and your own parents could be in that crowd and you wouldn't find them, you know, just looking at the whole crowd. But facial recognition sure does key on every face that's there. And if you're in their database, they know who you are. And anytime you've been on FaceTime or even to get a Facebook account nowadays, they scan your face, you know, so they have that data and they can exploit it any way they want. And of course, Facebook's all Jewish too. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
You know, Jason, back to you. It's Bitar. I'll read this a little bit. One sentence before we come back. Jason, I'm going to get your take on this. Be right back, folks. I cannot believe this hour is going so fast. This is going to be a five-minute break, so you get time to go use the restroom, your coffee, anything you want to do. Be right back, folks.
Glory, glory, glory. listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour, townhall.com. I'm Jason Weicker. Investigators and firefighters at the scene of a huge explosion today in Palm Springs, California. Officials say badly damaged at least one fertility clinic and a couple of other nearby businesses. So far, there's been no official confirmation on any casualties. Wicked storms overnight in several states. At least 23 people have died. National Weather Service meteorologist Philemon Geertsen in Kentucky says tornado damage of this magnitude, though, is not really common.
Typically, as the storms come east, they tend to weaken as they come into the central Appalachians. And when we do end up with tornadoes, they're usually brief and fairly weak. With that being said, we do occasionally have the environment here in eastern Kentucky that is favorable for stronger tornadoes.
Also at townhall.com, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. raising questions about why the Biden administration bypassed official FDA research procedures on the dangers of mail-order chemical abortion pills. On the Salem News program this week on Capitol Hill with Tony Perkins, Louisiana Governor Attorney General Liz Merle says her state is already taking action to remedy.
We are going to pursue a suit or a petition of the FDA to put this back under REMS. The current research is validating what we always knew to be true and what the prior research also demonstrated but was completely ignored for political reasons by the Biden administration. We will continue to enforce our laws, and we will do whatever we can to make sure that we hold accountable people who are deliberately violating them.
Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Living with everyday pain is like having a voice that always says, no, no, you can't do that. You can't go there. You can't play your favorite sport. You better sit this one out. It's no way to live. If pain is affecting you, see how Relief Factor can help you get back to living life again on your terms. One where you say yes a whole lot more. Head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by a team of doctors and scientists, Relief Factor's unique formula of natural ingredients doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or eliminate it for good. Whether it's your back, neck, your joints, your muscles, Relief Factor can help you, as it has for so many others. Give Relief Factor's three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, a low-cost way for you to sort of take it out for a test drive. Less than a dollar a day. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF. See how you could live with less pain, and you can say yes to more of everything you want with Relief Factor.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.blood.com. www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, I know the guys that are coming here to take over. I know they're glad I had to shut my mouth. And I know Lizzie is too. But anyway, Jason, we'll go back to you. We're talking about this organization, this Jewish, this terrorist organization called Betar, B-E-T-R. And they've been compared to these other Jewish terrorist organizations with the same Jewish credentials, same terrorist credentials. Of those that were in the Irgun and the Stern gang, that used those two gangs, they used brutal, bloody tactics against the Palestinians back in the 30s and 40s, and finally to get their wonderful organization of Palestine. They've been labeled as defense as a terrorist organization, along with Mayor Linsky's, who's a Jew, his syndicate. The Anti-Defamation League, ADL, of B'nai B'rith. I'm so glad these people have been recognized by Kevin Barrett of the American Free Press as terrorist organizations. I've known it all the time. I know you guys have known it all the time. But these organizations, y'all, Jason Kilroy, they all have this this surveillance technology, and they've been using it along with Batar Group. But anyway, how long do you think that's been going on, Jason? And anything else you had to comment about that? I mean, is that pitiful or not? You know, they use their. Go ahead.
No. I mean, in the facial recognition, you know, systems probably obviously has been going on for a long time. Whenever we hear about something in the news, it's already been in place. It has been in place for a long time. We're just now hearing it. But you know. That the facial recognition and the other technology they have, that really just shows the immense financial backing that they have. Those are not cheap, obviously, and that just shows the just amount of financial backing that they have. I mean, millions and millions of dollars, and each of these organizations are very, very well funded. And so these terrorist organizations, you know, the SPLC, the ADL, the World Jewish Congress, all of these are heavily financed not only by various organizations or by the governments, but then very, very wealthy Jewish financiers that are, you know, millionaires and stuff like that. And so it just shows just a lot of money and influence that they have in order to have these facial recognitions in order to attempt to, you know, spy and spot people in the crowd. A racial organization would not be able to afford that.
You got that right. I tell you what, I don't like to be overly pessimistic, but I've kind of covered this, talked about this before, but we've been using the same tactics for 50, 60, 75 years to try to get some type of liberty and freedom, independence in this country for white people. So far, we've failed miserably, but I guess I'll ask you this, Scott, and believe it or not, I'm doing this kind of the fly, but with organizations like the AFP, American Free Press, coming up with shining the light of day, the cleansing light, hopefully the cleansing light of day, bright light, and making noise, own this illegal terrorist activity that's being carried out by the Jews. It's always Jews all the time. Along with that, along coupled with seeing the hell-raising, unbelievable, just off the scale, irrational protests going on the left about the South African, a handful, less than 50 people coming in, refugees from South Africa. With that being discovered, This article right here, that people seeing that our Jewish people in not only in the United States but in the world using the most high-tech weaponry they can against us with the full approval and the full might behind the United States government behind them. Scott, is that going to ever waken up our white brothers, sisters, that handful out there who we can actually do something that's real, take real action in moving forward an operation to freeing our white people here in the United States? Scott,
Well, I think so. First, what you need to do is get the American Free Press in more hands of white people. It's not a very publicized publication, so I found out about it just by being in our circle, and I subscribe to it. And people have to have the courage to know that they're going to, you know, I think if everybody joined ranks, even if there were some initial casualties as far as people losing their jobs or going to jail or whatever, you would see the pendulum swing, and you would see look how much it swung to our favor just from the last election. When people get fed up and tired, they typically fight back with saying what would be considered taboo, you know? So I think it just creates a lot of bravery in people that won't shut up or are argumentative to our cause. And kind of like how they always preach, you know, getting their faces in the streets, that kind of thing. Well, someone gets to my face in the street, I'm going to have something to give them right back. So, and I won't care what they think or what. I won't care. I hope I'm on the news. So, like that woman, what's her name, Shiloh, that was here in Minnesota, who called that kid a nigger for stealing out of her bag, and raised more money on GoFundMe than. What's his name that stabbed that other track star at a high school event?
Down in Texas, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Camelo or whatever his name was, yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and she just – the guy tried to dox her and make her lose her job and make it so her kid can't go back to school and all that other stuff. And it backfired. And she started a GoFundMe, and she raised – over $500,000. But you won't go spending it on an Escalade and a new mansion like Camelo's parents did.
I mean, that is so niggerfied to do that. I mean, and I know this is a side, a little rabbit trail, but that DeAndre Harris, that nig that hit Harold Cruz in the back of the head with a mag light in Charlottesville, 3 feet from Matt Goodwin, the guy I rode to Charlottesville with, and Rich Hamblin and Gene Andrews, they were right there. I mean, they could hear the crack, see the knot. But he had some wealthy Jew started a GoFundMe page for the nig, Andre Harris, because he didn't have enough sense to do it himself. And hell, he raised like that. He had $250,000, $500,000, and he went and bought these, you know, $1,500 shoes and bought him like an Escalade. Got caught with a trunk full of outlawed stuff, outlawed guns. They got him off the hook about that. They let him off the hook. But, you know, Jackson, you said something I filmed the last hour or maybe the last couple of segments ago, and it's one of my favorite people. One of my favorite things, you alluded to Andrew Jackson, and the Supreme Court ruled against him. And this has an application for today. He told the people, well, the Supreme Court, they made the ruling. Let's see them enforce it. They have no enforcement powers. He's so rightfully recognized. I hope I don't jump around too much, but I wanted to ask you this earlier, and I just now remembered it. Is there any possibility at all that Trump will ever get sick and tired of these little penny-ante, tin-horn district federal judges blocking his every move? Will he finally stand up and say, kiss my ass? I'm not going to do what you say. If you piss me off much more, I'm coming to arrest you. I'm going to round up the people of my the hell with the law. I'm not going to be able to do what needs to be done for white people in this country. We're going to have to, their law is not law. I guess I'm going too long, but is he ever going to do that? Is he ever going to tell the courts to kiss his ass that he's going to do what it has to be, what's really legal to protect us white people?
Well, I mean, first off, as we all know, you got three branches of government, and the founding fathers considered each branch was separate, you know, and it had no power over the other one. That's why you had your checks and balances. And the judiciary has always been considered the weakest branch of the three branches of government. Any law student, when they go to law school, they will learn that that was the intent of the founding fathers, that the Congress was the most powerful because they had the voting by the people, like the elected officials, and they ran the money. But the judicial branch is the weakest. They have no enforcement power. So I will close my thoughts when we come back to that next round.
Yes. And that makes me so another question I had to ask you. Be right back, folks. Hang on your seats. This is the last segment of the second hour. Be right back.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Here, Blood River Radio family, we had a great conversation during the break, so I'm going to shut up because time, boys, is money, and time is really precious, and it goes by fast. But we were asking Jason, I'll ask Jason pretty much a question phrased a little differently that I used during the break. But I asked Jason, if Congress, I said, hey, is not Congress, aren't they the ones that make all the appropriations? They're the ones that get to put the money into the system. We know the Federal Reserve, but all their money appropriations is pretty much Congress. That's what they deal with, not the Senate. But I was asking Jason, and I was going to further add another question, ask him, could the Congress just say, well, we're going to cut the money off to the stinking court. If you keep ruling against us, making these unconstitutional rulings, we're going to cut the money off. Could we do that? But also, Jason also went into detail telling us on the break what I'd like him to tell our audience, how they are the weakest branch of government. Jason, if you will, cover those two things, what you covered during the break and my question about could they cut the money off to the court. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you read the Constitution, you have Article 1 of the Constitution that deals with Congress, what their ability is, making laws. So, I mean, anyone reads that, it's very, very extensive. Article 2 is the executive branch and talks about what they do, what the president is. It's the only elected official that is ahead of a branch. And so you have the president, who's an elected by the people, and he's the only elected official that runs the executive branch. And so he enforces the laws, and that obviously encompasses a lot. But then you have Article 3 dealing with the judiciary branch, and it's always been known to be the weakest branch. Now, over the years, they have become the most powerful, but the founding forefathers knew that the judiciary branch was the weakest. It was just all they could do is give an advisory opinion. They could not enforce it. The laws, they could not make laws. All they could do is give it an advisory opinion. And so, yes, you could have a scenario where you could have Congress say, hey, we're not going to give you amount of any type of money, or we're going to cut off the money. We're going to cut off money in a specific federal jurisdiction because of various rulings. So that could happen. And so the point is, when you start having judges start making really decisions that stops, you know, the executive branch under Trump to enforce its rulings, you're really forcing different elected officials, such as Trump, to basically draw a line in the sand and say, okay, you made your opinion, now try to enforce it. And in what I was saying during the break is, you know, for example, you had that El Salvadorian national who was sent to the prison that, you know, you hear about, where all the from Maryland, who's trying to get them come back, and you have the federal judge that says you got to bring that El Salvadoran national back to the United States. And Trump is basically saying, no, he's already down there and we're not bringing him back. So in a way, he's already doing that. Now, that might give him more brace of ability to say, we're not going to listen, Supreme Court. No, I'm the executive branch. You have no control over me. You can't. I have my own powers, and my powers to enforce the laws that Congress has established, and that's what I'm going to do. So when you start having these leftist, Marxist, communist judges making these decisions, you're really going to start seeing you're going to start seeing people, hopefully elected officials, and hopefully Trump, one of them, will say, we are not going to abide by that opinion, and we're going to do what we're going to do because I have the soldiers, I have the military, I have the law enforcement, because I'm the executive branch. I can enforce the laws. So I think you realistically could see that happening.
That'd be too good to be true. But, you know, I'd like to make one other quick point. And it wasn't me that said it, but I heard another fellow say, when a president, be it Trump, be it whoever the president is, be it the congressman, a senator, whenever they're sworn in, they had to put their at least in the past, they put their right hand on the Bible, and they would swear to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We did that, you know. But, you know, if you have to swear, and this is the point the guy made, if you have to swear to protect the Constitution of the United States when you take office, that assumes, rightfully so, that you know the Constitution. So the president and the Congress should know the Constitution as well as the Supreme Court, like you said. So who the hell is the Supreme Court to say that they were the final authority? That was just the point that I heard this fellow make. Scott, what do you have to say about that, brother?
All very good points. I mean, it seems like whenever they want to bend the rules and do things that you wouldn't even imagine long ago, like tampons and boys' bathrooms and things like that, why can't we do the same thing? Why can't we just shove that policy through, or you don't even have to do that? It's already policy. Just ignore them and say, okay, well, like Jason said, let's see you enforce it. You know, if you're telling me I can't do it and I'm going to do it anyway, we'll see what you do about it. You know?
Yes. You know,
yeah, And I will say this, is, you know, he brought a very good point that the Democrats are very good of not retreating. They will say, this is what we're going to do, and they're very openly defiant, and this is what we're going to do, regardless of what laws or policies, and they do it. And unfortunately, until very recently, the Republicans were very horrible of not wanting to be controversial on anything. And so I think what we're seeing, I think we're starting to see, you call it MAGA, whatever you want to call it, but I think you're starting seeing, you know, different elected officials on the right anyway that are basically saying we're not going to retreat, we're going to just continue to move forward, and we're not going to listen to some of these advisory opinions. And so, they need to be more abrasive about it and not retreat, because the Democrats, they don't retreat at all. They continue moving forward in their policies.
You know, guys, and I will put this question out there, or this statement, with all the resistance that we're seeing, and Lord knows I'm not the biggest, I'm a big Trump fan, but he's trying to do some things you've got to give him credit for. But here's the thing. In the end, it looks like before any representative that represents we the people, especially white people like us, Christians, before he's going to be able to do anything, he's going to have to do something with this. And that, this includes also the governors and the sheriffs. We're going to have to do something with these out-of-control communist judges. And, you know, the United States is full of communists. I know communists in running organizations. It's just, for some reason, I don't know why, but runners seem to go, a large part of your running community, they seem to be just down and out and right communist, man. But I overlook a lot of that when I'm running, raising money for St. Jude so I can run my stinking marathons. But anyway, in the end, it looks to me like that a strong leader like our brother Adolf Hitler is just going to have to say, screw the so-called law, these communist laws that are really not laws. We're going to have to do what we've got to do. And there's going to have to be a lot of people here in this country here. They're going to have to cease having vital signs, if you know what I mean. In the end, it's going to have to be us or them. I think it looks, and I hate to say I think, but it looks to me like the evidence shows before anything can ever be done to even come close to saving our nation, our country as white people, it's going to be like Mao Zedong said, all political power comes from the barrel of a gun.
Jason,
go ahead.
And I think what you have to realize, and I think you do, that it's a organic process. And the organic process can happen very quickly, or it can be very slowly, but still an organic process.
True.
And that's where you're starting to see organically, you are seeing what we call localism, where you're starting seeing people localizing in their areas. You know, it could be in the West, Midwest, but you're having communities, more of your rural white communities developing. You're starting to see sheriff's departments saying, we are not going to enforce, you know, back when during COVID, we're not going to enforce these absurd laws. You're having representatives that are getting more bold and talking about white genocide. So you're starting seeing organic processes of localism. And what they're doing is they're repelling these absurd federal opinions from these judges or from laws. If they're in California, you're seeing localism, and that it's an organic process, and it just happens. It just has to happen over a period of time, and that's where, you know, our people are waking up little by little, but that's coming back to localism.
We've run completely out of time. Of Kilroy and also Jason, thank you guys so much for coming on. You did a wonderful, wonderful job. I'd like to thank you so much for putting out there a great product for our people, our white people on Blue River Radio. Thank you so much. Thank you guys. I'll stay in touch with y'all. I'll stay in touch with me. I'll let you know how my surgery went. Hopefully I'll be running next Saturday. God bless y'all. We'll thank you, y'all. Guys. God bless you, Congressman.
Thank you, Eddie. Nice to meet you, Jason.
Thank you. Yep. People, hang on your seat. We got a transition. We're going to transition. So that was a jam. Be right back, folks.